Someone just came in here a couple minutes before this year, and they saw it was quiet, and little did they know I was trying to prepare, but that's beside the point. So they're going on a camping trip on Shabbos. It's the Boy Scout guy.
Right.
So they're going on a camping trip on Shabbos, and they're very nervous that if they leave all their food out, animals are going to come get it. They're going to eat it. So what they normally do is that they store all the food in the truck on Shabbos, regularly on a camping trip. So what he wants to do is, he wants to take out the light of the car, take out the bed, and then store all the food inside the car on Shabbos, and just go in on Shabbos and open the door, so you're not turning on the light.
It's now
not muksa. Well, it's a muksa kli because it's a car, but...
But it's not being used for me.
Okay, so are you allowed to open and close the door on Shabbos if the light will not turn on?
Yes.
So you're saying yes. Why?
I say no, because you're still going to activate a light on the bed.
No, there... Okay, so I think he said he's going to take the whole battery out.
He goes to Eretz Yisrael every year. He did this for 2 to 3 weeks. Every time he comes back from Eretz Yisrael, his car is always dead. The battery never starts. He spoke to the dealer before he left this time. He went for 2 months. And the mechanic at the dealer told him, even though your car is off, no matter what, your battery is constantly running. There's computers in the car that's constantly running. Unless you disconnect the cables completely, you'll be fine. So before he left Eretz Yisrael, he took the cables off, came back after 2 months, put the cables back on, started no problem.
Uh-huh.
So now, even though the light is out,
right,
the car is still running.
The car is running, but...
It's opening the door, changing the car.
But let's assume you're not doing anything when you're activating, opening the car. Let's say you're not doing anything when you're opening the car. The shell is, can you store...
It's a bus, it's a davar, right? Because it's holding other things that are muktzah. So it in itself becomes muktzah.
You're saying the car is a buses?
Yeah.
What's it holding that's muktzah? The batteries and stuff like that? What's it holding that's muktzah? Maybe that's all part of it. I don't know if that's called that it's holding it. Is this chair holding the pad or the cushion? Or that's part of the thing itself? That's the chair. I don't know if the car is holding the engine. I mean,
it doesn't seem.
I would say.
Container.
The shaila is: are you allowed to put stuff in a car with the batteries off on Shabbos to in al das that you're going to go in and out of the car, opening the door to take stuff out?
With the and you put the light. You put the light out.
Yeah.
Because the car itself might muktzah.
Yeah. So Eitan's suggesting it's a buzz. I think that really the way to look at the shaila would be: let's break it down. Is a car muktzah or is a car a kli?
It's a kli.
So if a car is a utensil, it's a kli. Granted, it's a kli whose primary use is not for permissible use. Its primary use is for prohibited use. Its primary use is to drive. But it has a secondary use as being a storage facility. The haraya, my car and my singer's car are the storage for the coils stuff. If you ever want to ride, you'll have to hold like some kolol stuff, you know, sternos and all these other things that are sitting in the back seat. So, by the way, if anyone has extra storage, let us know.
I don't know if it's saving the houses anymore.
I got
another break-in today. I don't want to say the name.
But,
yeah, 176. 178th terrace, you know?
And what?
Sorry.
Last night, too?
Yeah.
So since it's a klisha malachto le'isser, what's the halacha? What do we learn about a utensil which its primary use is for isser? We learn that you're allowed to move it. If you have a use for it, or you want its place, you're allowed to move it. So here, you're allowed to move the car door, because the car door, you're moving it for its place. You need the space of the car door, because the car door is blocking your access to the food. So therefore, you're allowed to open the door and go get your stuff. So therefore, pashtus it should be motor. You know, some say that you shouldn't put yourself in a situation where you're going to need to do that before Shabbos, but pashtus it should be motor. Okay? So now, the only thing I told this guy, so he's going on a camping trip with the Boy Scouts. So I told this guy that even though it's a bus, even though really Mikra then it's mutter, but you're going to confuse the kids. It's not a good chinuch because they're going to start thinking you're allowed to start opening doors on Shabbos, you're allowed to start going into cars on Shabbos. Next thing you know, you're going to think you're allowed to drive on Shabbos, and who knows what else. So therefore, it's such a public thing. In other words, the whole storage for everything and the whole camping trip is in the car. Where is everything? Oh, it's in the car. It's not a good, I don't think it's such a good chinuch issue. So then he suggested, fine, so we'll hang the food on the trees. I said, the only thing, you're not allowed to hang food on trees on Shabbos because trees are muktzah, and you're not allowed to move muktzah. And even if you don't move the tree, you're not allowed to hang anything on a tree on Shabbos. You're not allowed to take anything off a tree on Shabbos. And let's say you're playing ball and the ball gets stuck on a tree, you're not allowed to take that ball out of a tree on Shabbos. That's the halacha. But what you are allowed to do is you could stick a nail in a tree and hang something on the nail which is in the tree, because that's secondary. You just can't hang anything on the tree directly. So for example, if you want to have a hammock, by the way, just derech agav, but if you want to hang a hammock on a tree, you should not hang it directly on the branch, because then you can't sit on the hammock on Shabbos.
According to Rabbi Baruch Chay in his picture book.
Then what?
In a Baruch Chay, in his picture book on Malacha.
Yeah, he wrote one?
He has pictures, you can see.
Oh yeah, so
the hammock with hooks.
Oh, so yeah, so you have to put the nails in the tree, and then hang the hammock off the nail.
Whatever.
The point is, it shouldn't be on the tree itself. So that's just what came up just a couple minutes before the shir. Derech agav. Interesting.
So what are they going to do? They can't use the tree. They can't use the car.
So what he said was maybe he'll
separate
tent. But the raccoons will get in there.
Why don't they just camp in the backyard?
Raccoons are getting extinct these days from all the pythons. It's a very big python problem in Florida.
In the Everglades.
And I heard the raccoon, if you notice, there's barely any raccoons ever anymore. And they say that the raccoons are becoming extinct, the pythons are eating all the raccoons.
What's a python?
It's a very big snake.
You know they can eat a raccoon?
They're not over aggressive.
They're allowing them to be hunted in the Everglades now because they're taking over, they're killing deer, they're killing panthers. These snakes are taking over
everything.
They can consume an alligator.
They swallowed an alligator.
How big is it?
I saw it. It ripped it open.
20 feet.
But imagine wide.
How wide?
They stretch.
They're huge.
I had a picture when they swallowed an alligator. 20 feet. The alligator busted open.
From this floor to the ceiling.
Swallowing an alligator, a little snake.
And what did it bust open, that snake?
Because the alligator opens its mouth inside. They couldn't...
Swallow.
Swallow. They swallowed it. But it couldn't absorb.
Alright, take some Tums, you know. But anyway,
so what would he design?
No, so then he said, so let's put it in a box, in a cooler, and we'll put a weight on the cooler. But the question is the weight muktzah. You have to get a weight that's not muktzah.
Well, you could designate a rock.
No, why don't they bring a Shabbos coil? All right.
I think he's canceling.
So it looks like he's canceling.
You could put a rock on it and just designate
it. You see a bunch of kids on the
picket
signs?
Yes.
Why don't you just call it a Shabbaton and come here?
Yeah. So anyway, so I we'll see what ends up happening. But anyway, so the
let's see if they ask you questions again.
Yeah. But anyways, I want to get back into what we were discussing last week, which is the halachas of buses. Okay, the halachas of buses. Oh, there's another shaila that came up on this week of buses. The halachas of buses basically are, we had klalim. Buses is a chiddush that the following half takes place. What happens is if you place something muktzah on top of a kli, which is not muktzah, okay, and it's supposed to hold it, it's there to hold, the non-muktzah is there to hold the muktzah, so the non-muktzah actually becomes muktzah, changes status, it becomes muktzah. And therefore you're not allowed to move even the thing, even after the muktzah thing comes off. So let's say the candlesticks, even after the candles go out, you're not allowed to move the candlesticks, okay? But we said that there are certain conditions in order to make something into a bus. First, it has to be that the primary thing on top of the on top of the kli is a davar ha'aser. But if you have iser and heter on top of the kli, and the heter is more important, then it doesn't become a basa. So we said, like, let's say by your dining room table, if you have the candlesticks and the challah is more important as far as Shabbos is concerned, and therefore the table wouldn't be a basa. Okay, or that's one condition. The other condition is that basically is you have to have das to put it there. It can't just be that it happened to land there. It has to be that you had das to put it there, and that's how you begin make
so
it into a bus.
Cancels out the buses that the candlesticks establish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Now.
You eat the whole challah.
No, it doesn't matter. As long as the status depends on kipshutai. The status depends on bein hashmashos. What is at the beginning of Shabbos? If at the beginning of Shabbos the primary thing is iser, then the whole thing is aser. If at the beginning of Shabbos the primary thing is heter, then it's mutar. Okay, fine. Now, what we said is like this. However, so that's cases that become a basis. Once something is a basis, it's also the whole Shabbos, even if the muksa comes off. But then we said that there are cases that are not a basis, right? Like, let's say you forgot something inside, or there's also a heter inside. Okay? So now, let's give an example. You have a toy chest, and inside the toy chest, there are a lot of dolls, but there's also a muktzah toy. Are you allowed to move the toy chest?
Depends if you knew whether it was in there or not.
So even if you knew it was in there, but there's more mutter toys than usser toys. So the chest is not going to become a bosses.
Does it have to be more or just have to
equal
be
value or more importance? Okay. So now, by the way, I saw brought down that it doesn't have to be necessarily in value. It could be in what you. It's a subjective value, right? In other words, let's say your glasses are on a table together with money, a wallet, right? And even if your glasses theoretically are worth less than $100, but you would give $100 to keep your glasses right now. I mean, you're not interested in going running around for glasses, and therefore that would take precedence. But bottom line is, let's say our toy chest over here. So there's Isser and Heter, and the Heter is more important than the Isser. So therefore, the thing would not be a Bosses. Now what does that mean, that the thing is not a Bosses? That means, let's say the whole thing, the kids come in, they empty out the entire toy chest. Now there's nothing in there. Now you want to know, am I allowed to move the toy chest? So the answer is yes, because since the toy chest is not a Bosses, at the beginning of Shabbos, now you're allowed to move it around as much as you want. Okay? But what happens? What's the halacha? Kol zman. What's the halacha during, while the stuff is still in the toy chest? The pen, everything is, the muksa toy and the mutter toy are both still in the toy chest. Am I allowed to move the toy chest now with the stuff inside?
Because you designated that it's not a basis.
Okay, so now let's analyze it like this.
It has to be that you have a need to move.
Oh, okay. So the vort is going to be like this. This is how I would analyze it. The vort is that in the chanami, the toy chest is not muksa. It's true. The chest itself is not muktzah because it's not a basis. So therefore, if you isolate the chest, it's fine. But the problem is that even though the chest is not muktzah, but it happens to be you're also moving the muktzah toy. Indirectly, but you're moving the muktzah toy itself. So what permits you to move the toy itself? Forget the fact that you're moving the chest, but you're moving the toy also. So how do you deal with that? How do you deal with the fact that you're moving the toy itself, right? So,
well, because we said it's the same thing as if you have a table and you have something muksa candle holder and you're putting something of more value on it.
So good.
Like
so,
the
so good.
In the garbage.
Good. So that just means that if both of them are not there anymore,
both of them are there.
Good. So all I'm saying is that it's not a bosses. What that allows me to do is now, if the candlesticks come off the table, now I can move the table as much as I want. But
they
still
come off the table. Right?
Let's say the shiksa came in and took them away.
Okay.
But
they're still there.
If they're still there, there's a secondary issue. In a chanami, the table is not muktzah. But by moving the table, you're moving the candlesticks, and the candlesticks are definitely yeah, mukhtar.
But the candlesticks are gone now.
Yeah, I understand. So if they're gone, you're right. But I'm talking about in a normal case when they're not gone. So what does it help me that I put the challahs on the table? I'm still moving the candlesticks, right? Or I'm still moving
but
the chest.
You're moving it for the purpose of moving the challahs.
Ah. So here, so this comes in.
Mukhtar toy.
Right.
Then the other goes for a ride.
So exactly. You're a big lamdan, Alan. Not bad. The point is like that. Is exactly what he's saying. And this is going to introduce us to a new concept. But basically, the halacha is, and then I'll introduce the concept. The halacha is that you are obligated, if you can. If you can't, you're not obligated to. But if you can, you're obligated to shake off the mukta, and then continue carrying the rest of the chest. Because since the chest is not mukta, that's okay. But lemaisa, you're not allowed to carry the mukta itself. So therefore, in order to avoid carrying the mukta, you have to shake off the mukta. Shake off the mukta so that you're not moving the mukta.
So it's in the drawer. You're not going to move it. You can't shake it out. So
well, in the chest. Yeah, lift it up and dump it out. And if you don't want to dump it here because, you know, for whatever reason, either it's going to get damaged or you don't want to shake it here because it's going to take up space or whatever. Excuse me. You're allowed to bring it to a safe place and dump it out over there. But the halacha is you should not move it more than necessary until you dump it out. However, if you can't dump it out, then you're allowed to continue going. Okay? Now, this is the style that came up. So Chaim Markowitz was here last week, and he heard the whole shiur about buses. And then someone from Kal Chassidim comes running into me Monday morning, and he says, oh, maybe it was even Shabbos afternoon. I don't remember what it was, and he's all upset at me. No, not for real, like for fake, but I don't know what you're telling people. Everyone's giving me major, major problems. What's wrong? I said, what happened? He said, I have a shtender, a tabletop shtender, and I keep my tefillin. He didn't say tefillin. He said, I keep muksa things in my shtender. Pens. I have pens.
I do too.
I have pens and stuff like that. Now I have pens and keys in my shtender. My shtender locks. I go to the Nates, my shtender locks. Now in the other minion, they have a kiddush, so I have to move the shtender. So the guy comes over to me and says, you're making me do mukta because there's a pen in the shtender and I have to move your shtender. And we learned in the shir that even if it's not a bosses, but you're not allowed to move the shtender. Oh, so he said, but I learned, but I don't think he's right. Is he right? Is he wrong? What's going on? So this is a shiloh. So I said to him like this. First of all, it's a pen. A pen is a klishim lach to lisser. So a pen, even if the pen was sitting on the table and you want to take the pen with your hand and move it. So the pen, because it's blocking you. So the pen is machal, not an issue over here.
I have money in my shtender.
Oh, but if you have money in your
shtender.
Oh, but tefillin, what's the story with tefillin? So, or let's take money for a second. So let's say you have money in the shtender. You have some coins in the shtender. Okay, so what's the story? So now it's a problem. So if the money is the only thing in the shtender, then it could be a really serious problem. Because it could be the whole shtender is a buses. For the money, you can't touch the shtender. It's off limits. Right? So if the only thing in the shtender is the money, that's a major problem. Especially if you, why is money in your shtender? You want it there, right?
I want to have tzedakah.
Yeah. You want it there. It's not just stam like we said last week. Accidentally. You want the money in the shtender. So then the shtender would be off limits. You couldn't touch it at all. Forget, you can't touch it on Shabbos. But if you have your talis and your money in there, so your money, your talis is more choshev than the money. Right?
Yes, I do.
Oh, so if you have your talis and the money, so now is the...
I'm in trouble.
So now it's not a buses anymore. Fine. So now you're allowed to move the shtender. But you're allowed to move the shtender, but you can't move the money. So what you have to do is you have to shake it out. So before you... The pen you don't have to shake out. Because the pen is klishim lach to l'issa. So you're allowed to move the pen. But the money you have to shake out. So if your shtender is in the middle of the place, right, and they have to set up for a kiddush, and they have to move your shtender. The halacha is you have to pick up your shtender, turn it over. Now I don't know if they're mechuyev to turn over your money, but if it would be someone their own, they're mechuyev to pick it up, turn over the money, knock off the money, and then take the shtender away. This is called the chayvas ni'ur. It's the obligation to shake off mukta. If you have mukta in a non, yeah, because the talis inside just makes it that the kli is not a bosses. So it means that you're allowed to move the kli, but you still have have an indirect movement of the...
If there's no talis, he couldn't shake off the shekel.
If there's no talis, he can't shake it. If there's no talis, and it's only holding money, if there's a sitter, but if there's nothing else except for money in the shtender's off limits. It became a bosses.
Right. So my money's in my talis bag.
Oh, what? Fill it.
You don't want to throw them on the floor. You shake it off.
Okay, very good. So the thing is that I think, let me check with Rabbi Danziger. Rabbi Danziger. I think we were just talking about this with him for a minute.
Is he a bucky on?
Yeah, no, we were discussing tefillin. Rabbi Danziger. What would you say? We can't, you said tefillin is a klishim lach to lisser? That's what the poskim say? So what do we, what, Mishnah Berurah says what? That what? That it's not a klishim lach to lisser? Oh, see, so that's the two tzad. There's no tzad that it's muksa machlas gufay. That's what you're asking, that it's why is it a kli? But lachatchil, you should treat it like a klishim lach to lisser. Okay, so he's saying that tefillin is a klishim lach to lisser. Tefillin at most, he's saying there's a machlekes, there's a tzad that maybe it's a klishim lach to laheter even. It's not, it's mutter, because theoretically you could wear tefillin on Shabbos. But there are those that say that you should treat tefillin like a klishim lach to lisser, because again, tefillin is like a kli. So tefillin is a klishim lach to lisser. So tefillin, you're allowed to move with a gufay. So if the shtender is blocking you, so the bus, okay, so now this is a very interesting shaila. This is a Rabbi Kivager. This is a Rabbi Kivager that's literally 3 or 4 pages long. Okay, about the following shaila, about this. So what are we saying? We're saying that there's a chayvas near. You're mechuyev to shake out the muktzah. Okay, and is this clear? Is this shaking out the muktzah bit? Now, if let's say you have in the shtender, let's just cross over. You have money, talis, and tefillin.
It's my shtender.
That's your shtender. Money, talis, and tefillin. So you're allowed to move the shtender theoretically. It's not a bosses. You have to shake out the money.
It's inside my tefillin bag. Zipped.
You could unzip it. You're back in trouble.
Okay, fine. That's a very good example. We're going to get to that right now. Fine. Now, what's the halacha? What's the halacha? This was this guy's shiloh. No, but the shiloh got even better. Now, the problem is, the guy has money inside the shtender, but the shtender's locked, and the owner doesn't have the key. And the guy that has the key is not here. He went to Nate's. They want to move around the shtender to set up the kiddush after the main minion, whatever, the 9 o'clock minion. I know, but let's say there's money in it, for argument's sake. Okay? So what's the halacha? You have to shake it out. But you can't shake it out. It's locked. You can't shake it out. Or... Oh. No, so the halacha is, where since it's not a buses, and you should try to shake it out, but if you can't shake it out, then you're allowed to continue moving it.
That's if you know it's not a buses.
If you know it's not a buses.
No, like you know,
this
sure
is all talking about where it's not a buses.
Right.
Where it's a buses is nothing to talk about. Where it's a buses, the actual shtender itself is mukta. Right?
But what if it's not yours? Like, in other words, what if he was storing money, and it was his intent to store the money, but it wasn't your intent, so you don't know if it's a buses or not.
What do you mean? Whose kli is it?
The guy who's not there.
Okay, so it's his kli. He made his kli into a buses.
But
I'm saying, let's say it's not a buses. And you know that there's money and talis in there. So it's not a bus. We have to shake it out. Now it's locked. You can't shake it out. So you have to move it. The halacha is yes. Because this whole obligation to shake it out, if you can, is only if you can. If you can't, then you're allowed to move it.
What about?
It's one of the very few halachas, from my experience, I don't know that much, but from what I've seen, it's one of the very few places in Yiddishkeit that you have this thing. If you can, do it. If not, not. It's usually, this is the halacha. If you can't, then find something else to do. You know? But here, I don't know about that case. I'm talking about that they know that there's money and talis in there. The halach is, if you could shake it off, you should shake it off. If you can't shake it off, you're allowed to continue going. And it's not a l'chatchila b'dievet, it's like that's the halacha. The halacha is that you're mechuyev to shake it off if you can. Okay? Now, what happens if you can't shake it off? No problem. Okay? Now, very interesting. Let's say you could shake it off, but it's going to break. Let's say like the candlesticks. What are you going to do? Shake off the candlesticks? They're going to break. So are you allowed to move the table? You put challahs and candlesticks on the table. Now you want to move the table with the candlesticks. So what are we saying? You have to shake off the candlesticks.
You don't have to leave
this. Since it's going to end up breaking the candlesticks, so that's called EF Shalina'er. That's called that you can't shake it off. It's going to cause a huge loss. You're not mukhayef to shake it off because it's going to damage the mukta. So then you can move the table. So by putting the challahs on the table, you end up making a geshmaka situation where you can now move the table, because since you're not going to be able to shake off the candlesticks because it's going to damage them. So okay, or same thing if the shtender was locked, you can't shake out the money. Okay, now this is so far so good. This is a shaila. I remember I was in the coffee room in Lakewood Yeshiva, and a guy came over. I was learning with chavrusa with a guy, and the chavrusa's cousin came over to ask us the following shaila while we were having coffee over there. He asked us, what happens if the reason why you can't shake it off is not because it's going to get damaged, but because it's not yours? Who are you to start shaking off that guy's stuff?
So it is going to get damaged because he won't be able to find it.
Yeah, it's going to get lost or whatever, and you know, like, it's not yours. What are you doing? What? So are you allowed to, are you mechuyev to shake it off if it's someone else's thing? You're finished. You have an eighth on Shabbos, so you're finished way early. You have your money in there. Then they come in. They want to set up the thing. They know that brass has money and talis in there, and a lot of money in there too.
But it's in the corner, so nobody ever knows.
Okay, fine. So are you mechuyev to shake it off, or do you say no? This is a case of EF Shalina'er, because whom I can't start shaking off yet another person's stuff. So that's the halacha. The halacha is that if it's going to cause a loss to someone else, you don't have to shake it off. You just move it. Just move it. Okay. Now comes, this is where it's mamish lebedik.
What if you don't know? Just to be clear, if you don't know whether there's something in there of value that would make it not a buses, can you take something of value, like some sort of jewelry?
No, it's too late now.
It's too late.
It has to be all bein hashmoshes.
We're talking. Right.
If you do it now, it's useless. Okay. Now listen to this case. This is a tshuva written. This is a tshuva written by Rabbi Kiveger to the Beis Meir. They were both gedolim of that time. I just want to make sure I get this case straight. Okay. The story is like this. Let's say, okay, I said something that was a little bit misleading. I said that if the muktzah is going to get damaged, then you don't have to shake it off. Okay? But that's only talking about a case. Why are you moving the table in the first place? Okay? Like Alan said, it's only mutter to move the table in the first place because you want to move the table. I want to move the table. I'm allowed to move the table. The table's not muktzah. Now, what's the problem? The problem is that on top of the table, there's candlesticks. What do I do now? Shake off the candlesticks. If you can't, well, let's say I don't want to move the table because I want to move the table. I want to move the table because I want to move the candlesticks. I want to bring the candlesticks inside. Are you allowed to do that? That you can't do. Because there already, I'm explicitly doing it.
You don't want to move
to move the muktzah. Okay? I'm no interest in moving the table. Now, listen carefully. This is mamish. This is unbelievable. This is, they wrote to each other, both of these people, the Gedolei Hadar of that time, the Kiveger and the Beis Meir. Okay, and they wrote each other about three or four letters back and forth about this shaila. Each one of them is like three or four pages. Okay, it's a tremendous arichus about this. In my Shulchan Aruch, they print the Beis Meir. I'll just show you the Beis Meir. Here's the Sefer Beis Meir. So this whole thing is about this shaila. See the little teeny print? Okay, so let's listen to this Shiloh. Here, this is this thing. And here they bring the letter from Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Okay, listen to the Shiloh. Very interesting Shiloh. There was a Jewish guy who went to a hotel. He went to an achsanya. And he had a box of money. Money, coins, gold coins. He went and he was going out to shul in the morning. And he was very nervous about leaving the box of coins in the hotel room. You know, it wasn't like they had today, everything's locked up. The guy could come in. So what did he do? He decided that what he'll do is he'll put jewelry, he'll put diamonds and jewels inside the box with the gold coins. With the gold coins. He'll put the gold coins on muktzah. But he'll put in jewelry inside that box. So now the box has inside gold coins and jewelry. So is the box muktzah? Is the box a basis now? No. Because the jewelry was more expensive than the gold coins. So the box is no longer a basis. Now he wants to say, now I want to bring, it's not a basis anymore, so I want to bring the coins, I want to bring the whole box with me to shul. So what's the problem? The problem is, we just said, you're not allowed to bring the box with you if... But he wants the jewelry in shul because he doesn't want to, the jewelry to get stolen. But that's okay because jewelry is not muktzah. You can bring jewelry with you to shul.
Yeah, but he's not doing it. So he doesn't need the jewelry.
It doesn't make a difference. Let's say he would just have a box with jewelry. But jewelry is not muktzah. So let's say he wants to put the box with jewelry and bring it with him to shul. That's mutter. Why not? Why can't you bring jewelry with you to shul? Who's stopping you?
Because then you're bringing the other.
Oh, it's that. So this guy wants to bring the box, which is not a basis, but there's coins and jewelry in there. He wants to bring it with him to shul.
Maybe. But he doesn't need the jewelry.
That's called needing the jewelry. I don't want the jewelry to get stolen. So now, what's the halacha? I'll tell you the halacha. What's the halacha? The halacha is that really the guy should shake out the gold coins. He should shake out the gold coins and take with him the jewelry.
Wait, I thought the whole point was to protect the gold coins.
I know. But the question is, did this thing work? Did his chop work? This was the big question. So I don't remember who says what. So one says no, because Maisa, he's still obligated to shake out the gold coins. Why does he... Now, he could shake out the gold coins, no problem. He could shake out the gold coins. Why can't he shake out the gold coins? Because if he shakes out the gold coins, then he can't shake out the gold coins without shaking out the jewelry. The only way is to dump out both. And now I can't dump out either, because if I dump out either, I'm going to end up losing the jewelry also. So therefore, maybe I'm allowed to take the whole thing. Because just like in the case of the candlesticks, if you need the table, so you're not mechuyev to shake it off, it's going to damage the candlesticks. See, also, I can't shake it off because I'm gonna end up losing the gold jewelry. So am I allowed to take them both with me? Now, why am I telling you this? This sounds like some funny case. Okay, so I'm telling you because this is for you. This is why I'm saying this. Why? Because let's say inside, theoretically, the shtender, you have money and tefillin. You can't shake out the money because you're gonna end up dropping the tefillin. And you don't want to drop the tefillin on the floor. So now, if the reason why you can't shake it off is because is not because of a problem with the money. You could shake it off for the money, but the reason you can't shake it off is because of the davar hamutter inside. You're going to be doing something wrong to the davar hamutter. Is that called ef shalina'er? That's the shayla.
So that's different than the tefillin and the jewelry. The tefillin, you're going to desecrate.
Right, but not desecrated, but I don't want to lose the jewelry. It's also
you're not supposed to, but if you
have if it's in your way, you're allowed to. Okay.
Wait, so can we define what just happened? Basically, he created a situation where it's not a basis.
It's not a basis, right? And you're mechuyev lena'er, but you can't be mena'er, but not because of the davar mutter.
So the same thing as the shtender, he's allowed to take it and move it.
If you can't shake off the tefillin. Why can't you shake it off? Because of the tefillin.
No, in this case, let's say. In this case, he can't shake it out because he's going to lose the jewelry.
Correct.
Right? And the gold coins at the same time.
Right.
So so you're saying that that is allowed to walk with it?
That's the machlokes. I don't know what we're passing on that. It's a little complicated. But what I would do, what I think they end up saying in the case of the gold coins is dump out the whole thing and just put the jewelry back in the box.
So that didn't help.
That's the point. That was the question. Did this guy's idea help? There is no point. He didn't know the halacha. That's the question. This guy, after the story, the Kivega and the Beis Meir went wild. Alright? This is the question. Did this guy, Mardika idea, the guy comes back to town, guys, I had the great idea, I put the jewelry in the box. Now all the Rabbanim in town go crazy. So is this a good idea or not, right?
That's a hard one, because if all the people do that, and the Kola's got a funky way to make it work.
We'll supply the. You can keep it with us for Shabbos. We just keep one. We just charge. So anyway, but this is the yisoid that we're learning. So I think we made. I think it's pretty clear. I think we got the yisoid pretty clear. That the idea is basically right. That if it's something is not a basis, either because you forgot it, okay, or because there's also heter in there, you're allowed to move it around, but you should shake out. You have to shake out the mukta if possible. Right now. One other halacha of bosses, which comes up very often. What about a drawer in a desk? How do you view a drawer in a desk? Okay? Meaning to say, does the drawer become an independent bosses from the desk? Or do you say, for example, this is the case. Well, let's just say, first of all, there's in the drawer, there's mukta. Are you allowed to open and close the drawer? So the answer to that is no. It does become a basis. The drawer becomes a basis, you can't. Now, but what happens in the following case? Let's say in the drawer, you have mukta. But on top of the desk, you have mutter stuff. So now, in the desk total, you have more mutter than heter. So what do you say? Do you say, well, the desk is one entity. So in this entity, I have heter stuff and iser stuff. And therefore, it's a basis for both, and it's not a basis at all. And if it's not a basis at all, now I can open the drawer, the desk. Why am I allowed to open the drawer? If the drawer is not a basis, I'm moving pens and stuff, I'm moving coins, because I can't turn it over. How am I supposed to empty it out? I'm supposed to pick up the whole desk and turn it over? I can't do that. So it's not shaykh to shake it off. When it's impossible to shake off, you're allowed to move, as long as it's not a basis. So this is very important. If someone has a desk, you're not making a basis when you open it. The problem is that you're moving the coins, but that's okay. That's okay, because you, the whole problem with moving the coins indirectly is only when you could shake it off, but you can't because it's in part of a desk. But if you look at it, the drawer independently from the desk, so the desk has on it a flower pot or whatever, the desk has on it mutter things, but the drawer doesn't have any mutter things, so the drawer is still going to be mukta.
How do you look at it? Dependent or independent?
So if you look at it like this, if the only the drawer itself could become a basis if it has iser in it. But if there's heter on top of the desk, that neutralizes the stuff inside and it won't become a basis.
That's in contrast to what you just said.
That sounds contradictory, right? So we go both ways. We say that the desk, if there's nothing on the desk and you're only looking at the drawer, then the drawer can become an independent basis. So once there's something on the desk,
it depends what you're trying to accomplish. You're trying to open the drawer independently or you're trying to move the whole desk? If it's just the drawer,
because even if, as long as there's mutter things on top of the desk, now you're allowed to open the drawer now.
But because that just talks about the whole desk, what about the drawer itself?
No, because the drawer doesn't have any independent mitzias by itself. So then why is it, if there's nothing on the desk, it's a very hard sugya. This whole desk thing is about, it takes like a week. I'm just saying it in 3 minutes. But it's a little hard to understand. The truth is, it is a hard concept. But that's the bottom line halacha. That the drawer itself, if you're just dealing with the drawer, okay, and there's nothing on top of the desk, then the drawer is, then the drawer could become a bustle. But if there's mutter things on top, then it's going to become mutter now. Okay? So that's very negeya, these type of things.
pair of pants, right?
Oh, so this is a very similar shaila. Let's say in the pocket, let's say you have mukta inside a pocket. Does the pocket become an independent buses from the pants? Okay, so the poskim are machalic like this: a shirt between a shirt pocket and a pants pocket, because it's a very different mechanism. A shirt pocket is really part of the shirt; you just have this outside thin thing sewn on. Okay, so there, I think the halach is if you have muktzah in it, the whole shirt becomes a buses. But if you have a pants pocket is really what it is it's this piece. It's a piece of cloth. It's just sewn. It's a pocket. It's a wallet, really. A pocket of a jacket or a pocket of a. It's this thing. It's just they cut a hole in the jacket and they sew this thing on top. So really, that thing maybe becomes the buses, but not the whole jacket. So now you're allowed to move the jacket, and now you're allowed to shake it off.
What if you say the jacket as a whole is one entity, and you have two pockets?
Right. So if you have Heter in this one, Heter in that one, that would be okay. So now remind me to start off next week. And we'll finish off. What's the halach if you find mukta in your pocket? What we should do. Okay, and then I want to finish up talking about Tiltum and Atzad a little bit the next couple weeks.
What's Tiltum and Atzad?
Tiltum and Atzad is indirect Tiltum. Meaning, let's say this thing is getting me in, let's say this thing would be mukta, theoretically. And it's, I don't want it here. So am I allowed to, like, whatever, can I go like this and move it indirectly?
Tiltle it.
Yeah.
Tiltle,
yeah. Yeah, there you go. Now, am I allowed to move it? This thing is now to bosses because it just happened, you know, whatever. That's all.